Welcome to Forever a Student Podcast, a podcast where the learning never stops. I'm your host, Aubrey Zorai.
Welcome to Forever a Student Podcast, the first interview episode. Today I'm joined by Salami Boita. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm very good. I'm following your journey on Twitter for a while now. It's very interesting. I see you're putting the work, the networking, the outreach and everything. Can you just tell me a brief background about your life before you got into all this entrepreneurship journey?
That was so long ago now. I started in grade 7. So I'm 16 now. I'm turning 17 this year. And I was 12 in grade 7. So like turning 13 that year. And I don't know how exactly I found it out, but I remember at the time I wanted to be like an electrical engineer or something like that, because I wanted to invent things, you know, I wanted to be known for something. So then eventually I started doing more research about careers in tech, because I always had some kind of natural inclination for technology and things. And then eventually I found coding. I read some articles about it, you know, I started watching a few videos by some of the OG programming YouTubers that you might know, like CS Dojo, Corey Schaefer, Syntex, like those guys, you know. And then eventually started learning Python, learned Python for like 2 years maybe. Then when I got into high school, I started doing web development, because I posted one day on the Reddit, like on a subreddit. I can't exactly remember which one it was, but I basically asked them for advice and things like that for my career and what I wanted to do and all that stuff. And then someone asked me, how do you expect to do web development if you don't know HTML, CSS, JavaScript, you know? And then eventually I decided to move over to the dark side, started learning web development. And then, yeah, I learned it for like another 2 years or so. And then eventually I started my YouTube channel. And then a few months after that, I started my Twitter account. But yeah, that's a brief overview of everything.
I was 16, turning 17. I'm 20 at the moment. I turned 20. At 17, what was I doing at 17? I was basically I think I was deep into my books. 17, and that was like in lower six for me, right after O levels. So, you know, just be relaxed, nothing pressuring me at all, just chilling and just having fun. But it's interesting, from electrical engineer to web dev entrepreneur, that's quite a change of journey, to be honest. I didn't see that coming. So what did you say your morning routine these days as a young entrepreneur?
My morning routine? That's actually interesting, because I've been experimenting with it a lot. Recently, I came across like a book called The 5 a.m. Club, and the guy from the book basically says like the first hour of your morning is like the most important, because it's the most productive time of the day. And I started doing like a modified version of the routine that he suggests, because basically he suggests like 20 minutes of exercise as soon as you wake up, and then 20 minutes of reflection or journaling, for example, and then 30 minutes of mindfulness, I think. Yeah, so meditation basically. And I basically like changed it a bit. So I wake up, first thing I do most of the time, I try to at least just get up, go make myself a cup of coffee. And then I just make it in a flask and I take it outside with me and I go for a walk for like 30 minutes. Usually I would go for a walk and like listen to a podcast or something like that. But I'm trying not to do it now, because I want to use the mornings to just think about what I'm going to do for the day, you know, reflect on anything that's on my mind and just think about it. Usually it's things to do with YouTube and all that most mornings. Then after I come from the walk, I would journal. So I would do, how do I start this off? A week, like a side tangent, like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. So I was like in a rut for like 2 weeks. So I wasn't really doing much. I wasn't doing outreach or like making content or anything like that really. So I realized eventually that it was because of bad mental health. And then from that time on up until now, I've been trying to prioritize my mental health to get it in order so that that doesn't happen again, or anytime soon at least. So I've been doing gratitude journaling and daily meditation. At least I try to do it daily, because that was what was suggested basically to improve my mental health from another YouTuber that I trust quite a lot. So yeah, I've been trying to do that. Read for 45 minutes and then I would shower, you know, eat and all that. And then I would do like 2 hours of deep work. So 2 hours of like the most important tasks of the day. That would usually be either editing a video so I can upload it, or it would be engaging with some accounts on Twitter or like recording a video or something like that. A few months ago, it was coding, but I stopped doing that now. And like, if I had freelance clients at the moment, I would probably do that work in the morning as well. And yeah, that should be about the whole morning for me.
That's a very hectic moment. And this is all done like before 11 a.m.?
Yeah, around about 11, 12. 12 is usually when I feel more relaxed because I got most of my tasks done for the day.
Interesting. You talked about the 5 a.m. club. That book has been on my read list for a moment now. I actually started reading it. I'm still in the early chapters on the chapter about the spellbinder, like at the early start of the book. It's a very interesting book. It's very engaging. You've just given me aspirations to finish reading that book. And also you touched on mental health. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, a couple of weeks back, you're in a rut, right? I saw that you were in a rut. You didn't post as much, didn't do as much talking on Twitter. How did you come out of the rut and begin to better yourself?
It's funny, actually, because when I was in the rut, like for the last week or so, I even made a video about it. I said that I knew how to get out of it, but I just couldn't get myself to take that initial step to actually get out of it, you know? Like, I just didn't have the will to do so. Because to be honest, before all of this, like before the last year or so, like the last year and a half, maybe 2 years, I've lived like a quite comfortable life, you know, in a way, you know, like I'm very attracted to comfort, like physical comfort, really. So I would just lie in bed the whole day. And like during the whole 2 week period, I was just watching anime. I was just watching anime and like, I got so desperate because I used to be a big gamer when I was younger, like with the Xbox 360. And I sold that like 2 years ago. So I haven't played a single game in 2 years or so. Yeah, about 2 years. And so I saw a YouTube video where they advertised that game, Raid Shadow Legends. And I installed the game and I started playing it. And I swear I played it for like 6 hours a day because I just didn't know what to do. And I didn't have anything to do. And eventually I was like, maybe that was a way for me to cope with not actually making progress in the real world, you know? So then, yeah, how do I get out of it? I don't know. I think before I finally like started getting back into my routine and all that, I watched a few videos by some entrepreneurs, like successful entrepreneurs and some of my favorite creators. And basically just videos seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want, seeing the amount of freedom that they have. And then I'm trying to remember the exact video that I watched where the guy talked about mental health, because like late this year, really, I started to see the importance. No, late last year, I started to see like somewhat of the importance of mental health. Before that, I never liked when people talked about it, because I associated like a certain person to the topic, because I was on TikTok for a while, like last year or something like that. And whenever I would think about mental health, I would think of like some hippie girl that like talked about crystals and manifestation and the law of attraction and things like that. And I would associate that girl with the topic of mental health, because a lot of times it was them, and they just annoyed me. So I would always get annoyed when people would bring up the topic. And then a YouTuber, one of my favorite YouTubers now, Hamza, he started to actually talk about mental health and how important it was, and how important it was for his self-development. And like how much he talked about how much it impacts your life and like just everyday things. Like I started to realize that whenever my mental health was bad, I would start binge eating. I would start like falling back into all of these bad habits and all that. So yeah, I think it was actually motivation, as bad as people seem to make it out to be nowadays. It was really just motivation that got me to start, and watching the right content creators. Then just knowing that if I start doing something, like if I just start making up my bed or something in the morning, or doing any kind of small task, even if it's just for 5 minutes, eventually I'll start to get the momentum going, and eventually I'll get back to the point that I was. Like I'm like 2 weeks into this whole thing now, And I'm still not back at the point that I was before all of this happened. But I know it's going to happen eventually, so I might as well just stick to it.
In terms of coming out of Iraq, I came to realize that when you're tired, sleep and promise yourself that tomorrow you wake up and finish the job. For me personally, I'm a coder. So it was always code, do this, do that. The point that you get burnt out where you don't even want to see your laptop anymore. You don't see anything related to coding. Then as time went by, I realized that sometimes you just have to take a step back from whatever you're doing and just enjoy yourself for a bit without worrying about those things. Then you come back at it, re-energized, and you continue to grow. On the same topic, would you count yourself as an introvert or extrovert?
Definitely an introvert.
Kind of similar in some way or another. So how big would you say your inner circle is like?
I need to think about it now. I have two really close friends at the moment. One stays right next door to me. Like, I just came from his house a few minutes ago. And then I have a cousin that I'm really close with. She also stays not too far from me, like a 10-minute walk. And then, yeah, I have another friend that's like a few kilometers away from me. So we don't talk that often anymore because we used to go to school together and we were really close then. But, you know, distance just separates you somehow. Like, you start to not text as much and all that stuff. So, yeah, my friend that stays next door to me is actually like my my source of sanity because I see him most of the time. Like, we work out together whenever I work out. So it was like 5 days this week. So we would just sit outside and talk for a while we're working out, you know, bounce ideas off each other, just tell each other what's happening in our lives and all that, and just talk about it, ask opinions about things and all that. So I definitely think that I have somewhat of a social life, at least, but I do like being alone most of the time, just so that I can focus on doing work and all that. No, I basically like stay on a farm here. Like, it's not like the typical farm you think about, like where there's goats and things running around, but like, it's a really quiet place. The closest thing to a store that we have near is like a gas station. And then we had like what we call in South Africa spaza shops. I don't know what it's called internationally, you know, but it's like those small shops usually owned by like one person. And then they would like sell, you know, like cheap chips and some groceries and things like that. So yeah, that's like the closest things that we have here. So there's no source of entertainment besides a club and like drinking alcohol, smoking weed, and just doing some other dumb stuff, you know? So I just like spending my time alone and just working towards a future that I can actually enjoy, you know?
As we dive deeper into more like your aspirations in the future journey, who would you say are the three most influential people to you right now in the current moment?
I never thought about this before. Like, there's so many of them. For one, I would say the guy that I was talking about, Hamza. He's a self-improvement YouTuber, but he's so different from the rest of people, from the rest of all the other self-improvement YouTubers, like the ones that I used to follow, the really big ones like Matt DiVilla, Thomas Frank, you know, the Better Ideas, all those guys, because they make really good content, but I feel like they focus more on things like cinematography and all that rather than actually providing value in his videos. And Hamza is very authentic. He's very vulnerable in his videos. And he provides so much value to like a specific person, you know, basically his younger self. So I resonate a lot more with his videos. And I just love the way that he's built his brand online so far, because he has a really loyal following, like the most loyal following I've seen on social media so far. And yeah, he's had insane growth in the last year or so, really. And he makes a good amount of money, like a really good amount of money for his channel size, for his audience. And then another person would be Russell Brunson, which somewhat similar. I don't know if you've read Dotcom Secrets or Expert Secrets or Traffic Secrets. It's like a trilogy of books. But if you are doing content and you're selling some kind of service or something like that, or digital product, I would highly recommend those three books. I've read two out of the three of them so far. But he basically teaches you about sales funnels, building an audience online and all that. And he gives so many tips. I wouldn't say tips, but like, he gives such valuable advice. Like, my mind was literally blown when I read the book, because once he started talking about some of the things, I started to see it all over the internet, you know, the different funnels with the different email campaigns and the types of messages that they send, the way that they get leads using a lead magnet and all those kind of things, doing upsells. So that would probably be the second one. And I've recently come across a guy called Dan Cole as well. Oh, no. Naval Ravikant. Definitely Naval Ravikant. He has to be somewhere on the list. Yeah, his book, The Almanac of Naval Ravikant, definitely my favorite book that I've read so far. He teaches you how to build wealth and happiness. I don't know if you've read it before, but it's an amazing book. He's such a clear thinker. And yes, I don't even know how to explain this. Like, I don't know. I just love the guy and like how he thinks, his thought process, the type of life that he lives right now. And yeah, he's just a cool guy, man. So I would say those three. Really.
You talk about being real. I remember, is it two videos ago on your YouTube channel, you talked about being real with your audience because you want to build a stronger community. Can you tell me what inspired you to really try and be authentic all the way?
Hamza's videos, that and the book .com Secrets. Okay, one of the reasons is definitely because I want to build a more engaged audience with my list, with my channel and with my Twitter account and all that. Because I started to realize that the reason why I liked his videos so much, why I liked Hamza's videos so much, is because he was so authentic in his videos. Like, he would tell you everything that happened in his life. He would tell you how he got abused as a child, the crimes that he committed, how he was a degenerate in university, and all of these things. And he would tell these stories and so many different things, like all the bad habits that he had. And you would be able to relate to it. And you would be able to tell that he's not actually lying about this stuff, because no one would tell you any of these things if they didn't actually do it and if they weren't actually being honest with you, you know? And so that was one of the reasons why. And because I want to like have a proper connection with my audience, you know? I want to feel like they actually know me. Like, if we ever had to meet in person, it has to feel like we've had a bunch of conversations already. Of course, I wouldn't know you. You would probably know me a lot more because of like the nature of the content and how it works and all that. But yeah, because I just like people, I guess, because it hasn't always been like this, because like I said, I'm an introvert. Before, I thought it was like kind of cool to be antisocial. So I would always try and avoid people. And I thought that I didn't like people and all that. But relationships is the thing that I value most in life. And it just makes me feel good talking to like-minded people and people that I just like, you know. And if I can make them feel good, it also makes me feel good. So it's like somewhat, I wouldn't say it's selfish, but like it's selfish in a good way, you know.
And sticking to your YouTube channel, you recently released a video about your goals. You changed your goals from the first quarter of the year to now this. What journey did you go along that made you realize that you can go above and beyond the original goals you had set?
One of the big reasons was Twitter, because I follow so many people on money Twitter, and I just see how much money they're making from the same, basically the same business model that I have, which is creating content and then selling a digital product or selling a service or whatever it is. And then the other thing was a book that I read, The Magic of Thinking Big. I think that's the name of the book. And then, yeah, just a few other content creators that just drilled it into my mind that you can probably achieve more than you think you can. And the fact that, I don't know where it was that I read it exactly, but someone said that achieving a bigger goal is just as difficult as achieving a smaller goal. Because as time goes on and as you keep learning your skill set, like coding, for example, your skills start to compound, the amount of money that you make starts to compound, and you become a master at what you are, basically. So eventually, once you hit a certain point, like let's say making $100,000 a year, which is quite high for most people, from there on, it will just get easier because you've already done enough work to get to the point where you have a really good level of competency in the skill that you have, you know? So that was a few of the reasons. And then, yeah, just the fact that I knew that I always believed in myself, you know, and I just feel like I can accomplish anything that I set my mind to, you know, anything that is somewhat reasonable. Like I have some reasonable, unreasonable goals, you know, like earning $3,000 a month right now, which is in this year, I mean, which is like more than my father makes, earning 10,000, mostly the money stuff, yeah, earning 10,000 next year. Like, it would seem unreasonable to a normal person, but if you are someone in this space, and if you are like a successful person or something, they would just be like, okay, yeah, that's like a good goal to earn, to aim for, I mean.
Lessons are learned during the journey, right? And from what you told me, it seems like you've learned a lot of lessons from following the right people, reading the right books, being in the right conversations, you know. What's one lesson you wish you knew before you started the journey?
Goodness, there's so many that come to mind already. Okay, the question is, when did the journey start? I'd say that was when I first started learning to code. So, stick to the fundamentals, stick to the basics. You aren't going to find some kind of 10-minute video where you learn like the tips and tricks to learn how to code or something like that. That's actually going to change your life and change the speed process for you, basically, because they don't matter as much. As long as you can do like those 20% of the tasks, 80% of the results, you'll be set for life. And if you follow that same 20% of rules and like the advice that most people give, like, you know, the advice that no one wants to listen to, like, be consistent, just show up every day, just like learning to code, for example, code every day, do challenges on like code wars and things like that, learn the fundamentals. And as long as you keep doing it for long enough, you will eventually get to the goals that you set out for yourself. It's just a matter of, because all of the other different things really don't matter at all.
In your journey of entrepreneurship, you talk about being consistent, showing up every day, self-discipline and stuff like that. What would you do on the days when you felt like giving up, where you were at your lowest and you just sort of saying, I'm done, let me just walk away from this? What did you do to stay in there and to push yourself to go further?
I don't think I've actually ever had those days. But of course, I get days where I just don't feel like working as much, you know, or I just want to take a day off and like watch a series or something like that. But it never crossed my mind to actually quit at any point in time. Even though I've been creating YouTube videos for like 13 months now, and I only have like 300 subscribers, and I think I could have had a lot more if I know what I know now, if I knew what I know now. Because back then I was just doing everything wrong, you know? So for me, I've always had a lot of self-belief because of the way I grew up. I always did good in school. So my teachers, my mother would always give me validation for those kinds of things. So I think naturally, as I started to grow up, I started to think quite highly of myself. And I always thought of myself as quite a capable person, you know? And with entrepreneurship and content creation and all these things, I went into it with a mindset that it's not going to pay off in like 3 months or even 6 months or something like that. It'll probably be 2 years, maybe 1-2 years maybe. So I did it with like a long-term mindset, I guess you could say. So I never really thought about giving up because I knew this was all just part of the process. And I think that's something that a lot of people just have to keep in mind. Even if you lose a week of progress where you haven't uploaded anything, or if you haven't coded or anything like that, you still have a bunch of years after that. You have decades to be able to still work on all of this. So just having one bad week or one bad month or something like that isn't actually that significant in the grand scheme of things. So just keeping that in mind and just having more self-belief, I guess, because I think that's something that people lack. Self-belief and like having positive thoughts about yourself. Because I think a lot of people have like that negative talk in their mind most of the time. That's actually something that I also don't really have anymore. I might have had it when I was younger, but I don't really have negative thoughts about myself anymore. And the way that you probably can get to this point is if you actually prove it to yourself, if you actually can prove to yourself that you are a competent person that can get results, that does actually deserve what they are working for, then I think it shouldn't be a problem for you.
Fasting in the process is what my old mentor used to say to me. And also you say if it was easy, everyone would do it. In today's conversation, we talked a lot about books. What books would you say I must read?
I think you'll like most of these books. And I think most of your audience will, because I mean, you seem to mostly be branded around coding and all that. So definitely The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. You can get it for free on his website. I think it's navalmanac.com. I'll just send it to you on Twitter. A book about learning how to build wealth, happiness. That book genuinely changed my life in terms of like how I thought about going about my life and building wealth and becoming a happier person in general. That business would definitely be The 4-Hour Workweek, as well as The E-Myth Revisited, if you're planning on starting any kind of business. So The 4-Hour Workweek is basically the main takeaway is don't spend your time on tasks that won't give you as much leverage as others. So tasks that aren't the most important things, you should try and automate, delegate, or completely eliminate tasks that aren't that vital to what you have to do. So emails, for example, doing outreach, things like editing your videos or whatever, like, things like that, you know, that you don't need to do, that you can give to someone else. And it just teaches you how to do more work in less time, which is perfect for me. The E-Myth Revisited was basically just telling you how to run a proper business, whether that be online or in real life. And I could talk about this book for hours, honestly. But basically, it's kind of similar to The 4-Hour Workweek, where instead of like being the person that does the work most of the time, so for you, that would be coding. Now, if you want to start a business around coding or something like that, that would probably be freelancing or starting an agency or starting some kind of SaaS. So then for you, for example, you would be the coder or the technician that actually does the work. And then instead of being the technician, you should try and be more of the entrepreneur or the manager, which is like different parts inside of you when you are starting a business. And the entrepreneur is basically like the visionary, you know, like Steve Jobs. He is the person that has the vision for the company and that tries to work towards all of those goals. And then the manager would be the person that actually basically cleans up after the visionary. You know, the manager has to hire staff, has to make sure they're doing the job properly and all that. So you have to try and be more of those two instead of more of the technician, because you're kind of wasting your time there in a sense, unless you actually want to do it just because you love coding or something like that, you know? And then other books, How to Win Friends and Influence People, genuinely changed my social skills and like how I interact with people on a day-to-day basis. It's a bunch of basic things that you should know, but just don't do. And he basically just talks about it in a way that makes you think, oh yeah, I should have been doing this a long time ago, you know? And it's really simple things that you can start implementing immediately. As long as you do it, I can guarantee you that you will improve your social skills. Well, I'm just gonna recommend every book that I read if I go on. So I would probably say that, and then .com secrets for anyone that wants to start a business, especially if it's like an online business where you have to have some kind of funnel to sell things, whether that be a service or a product. But yeah, I think those were the most important books that I've read so far. The rest were also really good, but yeah, I'm just going to keep the list short.
Thank you for the recommendation on the books. I'm sure I'll love to read the books and my audience will also enjoy them. Let me just ask the signature question. What drives you to keep learning?
I would say just enjoyment, I guess. Like, I've never thought of learning as like studying in school, you know, where you have to do it for an exam or something. It's always been something that I've genuinely enjoyed doing. Like when I was 12, 13, like when I was first starting to learn to code, I would literally watch. I don't think I had a laptop at that time. So I would take my phone and I would download a few videos, because I used to buy mobile data because we didn't have Wi-Fi at the time. So I would buy data. I would download a few coding tutorial videos. I think at the time I was still learning Python. So I was downloading Django videos, and I would literally just watch like the whole playlist, like a bunch of 40 minute videos. And I would just watch the guy code, had no clue what he was doing most of the time. But I just thought it was really cool to see what you could actually do with it. And for example, I would just learn stuff in my free time, like watching YouTube videos and all that, because I think it's just fun to know things, you know, and then just being able to hold up a conversation with most people, because I have a very diverse set of interests, I guess you could say. Like, there's things like I like technology, you know, I like chess, I like fitness, I like self-improvement, I like just the NFT and crypto space, things like that, you know. So yeah, just learning about all of those things is just fun to me, really. And also just seeing progress in all of these things. So improving. As long as I'm learning and I'm making progress, I'll honestly just be happy for life.
Thank you, Sulaiman, for being on the podcast today. It means a lot. Yeah, the first one to have the interview. Hopefully we can do this in the year 2, as in the anniversary of the podcast, where we see it at a different height.
No problem, man. I enjoyed it. I hope to be on it soon again in the future.